The gifts that God gives us are not so that we can pleasure in them. We will take pleasure in them as we purpose to serve others with those gifts and become productive. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10, we are reminded once again, and these are the same passages that I've been talking about, but 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10, as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another. Now today we are going to talk specifically about the gift of serving, but every gift is to be served. Every gift is for you to be serving God. Employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Manifold. I mean, there's plenty. There's multiple ways that God has bestowed the grace upon you and me. And we need to bestow that grace upon others by serving him, because he's given us by grace. So therefore, by grace, we give others. Now, of course, we've talked about different passages where these gifts are listed. But then in Romans chapter 12, this is where we are camping, okay, during the next few weeks, as we started a couple weeks ago. We're going to camp out in Romans 12, where it has a list of the simplest gifts that God has given us. The gifts of proclaiming and the gifts of serving and doing for others. Now, if you look at the list in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and you're going to start noticing that they mention miraculous gifts like, you know, speaking in tongues and interpretation and stuff like that, and healing and signs and wonders. We're going to talk about those a little later, but I'm concentrating on the ones that mostly get ignored. The ones who really, really, really make a big difference if we just simply practice them at the simplest of its way, you know? So Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8, the word says, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly, each gift accordingly. If prophecy according to the proportion of his faith, if service in his serving, or he who teaches in his teaching, or he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. And we're going to concentrate today in what it is, the gift of service. There is not one Christian, not one on earth, that has no gifts, at least one. So I want us to continue examining ourselves and evaluating ourselves as we go through every gift to see if you fall under that category and see if that's what God has gifted you with. Now, if you have missed any of the sermons, you can go to our website, horebnola.com. And all the sermons are there in Spanish and in English, and the notes too. You can download the notes, you can listen to it, and it's totally free. All right? So if you missed anything, then you're missing out. And you don't have to miss on anything. You can do it, okay? So today we're going to talk about service. And you know what? This is the one, probably one of the gifts that a lot of people say, ah, right, I don't know if I want that one, the gift of service. You know, being a pawn or being a slave or being a server or being a waiter or being a deacon, whatever, all kinds of words that you can use for the one who serves that are used in the Bible, right? A bond servant. And some people say, I don't know if I want that gift. And then you hear about another gift, like there it says the gift of giving. Oh, I'd love to have the gift of giving, because in order to give, I'd have to have. Well, you may want to reconsider what you want and think about what you have and what God has given you. We'll see about that. We'll see which ones you're going to be looking at and see what God has given you. Remember, it's not about what me asking him, I want this gift or that gift. It's by his grace that he gives me. So let's start with the gift of service. And let's look at the characteristics of a person who has the gift of service, the gift of serving. So let's look at this, the gift of service. Number one. The person with the gift of service sees practical needs first. I mean, these are the people who, when they recognize a need that quick. They see somebody, they know they need something. They see something, we need to do something about it. These are people who, and some we or whoever doesn't have the gift of service may not recognize or see a need immediately. It may take them a little longer. But we all need to be mindful of people's needs, no matter if you have the gift or not. But the people with the gift of service are the ones who jump out immediately and say, this person needs this. Oh, no, I'm going to take care of that. Oh, no, what we need to do is they immediately, when they see a need, they see it very quickly, they acknowledge it, and they want to do something about it very quickly, right? They're the first one to notice when somebody is in need. They can't stay still. These are the people that can't sleep at night thinking of stuff. They want to go out there. They want to do something. They don't want to stop. They get up early or they go to bed late, but they just want to, blah, 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 I got to do something. Non-stoppable. You know, like the Energizer Bunny has the gift of service, baby. You see, they want to cover every need that they see, all right? There is no way that they can see a need and say, I can't do that. No, they think, oh, we're going to try that, even if I can't, but I will try, right? So this is very important. They have an awesome ability to simply look at things the way people normally won't see them. They see needs and they see them continually and quickly, right? And they're always on the alert of people's needs. These are the people that are mindful always of people's needs. And they observe behavior. They observe people. They observe what they like. They remember what people like. They remember what people do. And they're always there to aid them when they need them. You know anybody like that? People who, before you even ask for stuff, they already got it in their hands. Here. Those are the people probably that have the gift of service, right? Well, And you see, all of a sudden, they're always willing. Their will is always willing to do whatever it takes, right? And when God speaks to their hearts and reveals any need that somebody might have, then they start thinking, you know what? Anyway, this may not be very significant. It may not be a big thing. It may be trivial for some. It may not be that necessary, but I'm still going to do it. You know, they don't see the needs of other people as trivial. They see every little detail, and they're very detailed people. And the people with the gift of service, they don't come up with excuses. You see, they don't look at the negative. They're always trying to see the positive side and how they can come out and do something about somebody or something that they see. They want to make an impact once and for all quickly, and every opportunity they have to serve, they'll jump on it. You know what I'm talking about? These people are simply no excuses. You know, sometimes we come up with so many excuses, right? Like Moses, when God called him. Well, that was a struggle. Not necessarily that he didn't have the gift of service or not, but that was a struggle with the call of God on his life. But yet he put up a bunch of audible excuses. He spoke to God and he told him, I can't do this, I can't do that, I can't do that, I can't do that, right? Sometimes people put up excuses without saying a word. Have you ever done that? Silent excuses? You know, like when you know something's wrong, but you do nothing about it. And deep inside you're thinking, I should do something about it. But if I keep quiet, nobody will say anything. Nobody will know. And I won't do anything about it. And nobody will. Because if I say something, then they'll know. And if I say something, don't do anything, then I look bad. So I'll just keep it quiet and keep going. Right? And sometimes that's the way we hide our sin. We just don't say anything. For example, and I'm going to speak personally here, right? Being late, not being on time, a big struggle for some of us personally. It's a sin. I'm dishonoring the time of others, but yet I keep it quiet. I don't say anything. I don't mention anything. The least is talked about, the better for me. Because I pretend that nobody notices. And I just keep going with the flow. Keep it quiet. Right? But the moment somebody mentions it to me, all of a sudden I'm convicted. And the first thing that comes out of my mouth is, I know, I know, I know. And the person with the gift of prophecy, the gift of service, will say, well, if you know, why don't you do something about it? You get that, right? No excuses. Well, yeah, bunch of excuses, but they're all silent. And we need to be careful with that, with so many. It doesn't have to be only with being late, but so many other things that we do. And we just quietly go about it thinking, I know they're noticing, but they won't say anything, so I better not mention it. Think about that. That's something to chew on, right? But the person with the gift of service loves helping others to succeed.
You see, they don't care if they get the credit. They don't care if they get the glory or not, or get the credit or not. All they want to do is see the other person succeed. They might be still in the same place at the end of it. They might still be in the same predicament as when you started serving, but they saw the other person have success and go forward. And they're like, good for you. Kudos to you. Praise the Lord. That's great. That's what I wanted to see. I wanted to see you have success. Those are the people with the gift of serving, if you think about it. They have this delight that they just get all fuzzy about seeing other people succeed, especially when they have something to do with other people's success. When they help them out and they see other people succeed, when they see other people achieve goals, when they see other people rejoice, they become part of it and they just rejoice with them. When they see somebody who is important in their lives, you know, they just help them and they get happy about it. Simple. They practice these principles of having success in life by serving. It's simple as that. They give themselves. They give themselves up, even if they have to sacrifice, in order for others to be blessed. And that gives them joy. When even though they might have sacrificed something, they see somebody else benefit from that. From their life of service, then you see the purposes of other people come to fruition. You serve and somebody else's purpose is done. And you don't complain. That's the gift of service right there. You know what? Even if sometimes you feel like you're not so successful yourself, but when you make other people successful, you may have the gift of service when you do that. You disregard weariness. You know, it loves helping others to succeed and disregards weariness. These are the people who never get tired. Oh my God, they can. Nobody can stop them. They just want to keep going and going and going and going and drag you along with them. You know anybody like that? They're unstoppable. They see a need, they see anything, say, come with me, come on, let's go take care of that. You know anybody like that? Those are people with the gift of service, right? The ones who just say, I'm not tired, don't worry about it. I mean, they could be they could be out in the sun about to have a heat stroke, you know, but they just don't care. They say, no, we got to get this thing done. We got to keep going. They don't get tired. Or if they get tired, they don't care. They keep going and going and going. You never see these kind of people with their arms just waiting on somebody else to do anything. They don't stop to take a breather or anything. Just keep going. No breaks. Now, I might get everybody else tired, but they don't, right? But even if they're tired, they value relationships and they value the benefit of good service. They value that. They want to see somebody served. They want to see somebody, you know, be benefited. They think of other people. Even the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 9 that we should not grow weary in doing good for other people. Because if we do not go weary, in due time, God will reward us. Hebrews 6:9. You know, God will reward you. Now, I want you to look at something. And back in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, one more time. Because when it talks about the gift of serving here, check this out. It says, as each one has received, especially employed in serving one another as good stewards. Good stewards. You know, they're usually good stewards. They don't waste an opportunity to serve, even if they're tired. And it says there that whatever gift you get from God, it's for the purpose of serving others. Employ it in what? In serving. So even if you don't have the gift of service, you can't say, well, that's a gift for Ed. Let him do that. No, everybody needs to be serving with their own gifts and helping out in whatever way they can. And God gives you gifts, and he expects you to rely upon his strength. In his strength. You know, there are gifts of the Spirit empowered by the Spirit, and you've been given the authority to use that gift in the Spirit. So when you're walking in the Spirit, you can perform these gifts at the greatest level, and you'll be fruitful. But when you're not walking in the Spirit, all of a sudden you don't have the strength to serve others, and you start looking the other way. See, but it is God who gives you the strength to do it. So let's not grow weary in our service to others, because in due time, if we sow, we're going to reap. God will reward us. God is good, and he will do that. All right? Let's think about some others. It's difficult for them to say no. Give me the next one. There you go. It's difficult saying no. These people have a big difficulty telling people no when they know that there's a need. Or when somebody asks them for a favor, hey, man, I need you to do this for me. Can you help me out? They might be busy. They might be wanting to enjoy a little free time. They might be, and they're like, you know what? Let me make my way over there. And they try their best, because that's how God designed them. You see, they don't like to see a need go on without being covered. So they don't like to say no usually. Also, they're on the alert to the likes and dislikes of others. These people know what other people like and dislike. They're watching out. They're watching out. These people that serve in the church, they know what you like to eat. They know what you don't like to eat. They know what you like and don't like. And they're mindful of that because they're observing you, because they want to do the best in their service for each and every person. They live for others. They live for others to be served, right? And it helps them express generosity, because these are the people who sacrifice their time, their talent, and their treasures to serve others and always make themselves available. And once again, we have all been called to serve. You know, for example, you go out there and you see the people. We have a meal downstairs. We have all this food out there. And people come to the line and they go like, hey, whoever's serving, let's just say Richard. Sir, hey, Richard, there's no spoons. We ran out of spoons. You see, that would be a person that doesn't have the gift of service. A person with the gift of service says, Richard, where are the spoons? Let me help you get them, because all these people need spoons, and I'll get them for you. Where are they at? See, they're not thinking about their spoon and their little potato soup or their little gumbo. They're thinking of other people's potato soup and their gumbo. They want people to enjoy that. I love people like that. And the ones who cook it too, amen, hallelujah. See, they make themselves available. These are people, the people with the gift of service, they go to extraordinary lengths to make sure that things are done. They're on the alert to the likes and dislikes of other people. They're always knowing. And not only that, they like to give you what you like. And if they can't give you what you like and they know it, they'll tell you, hey, I'm sorry, man, I know you like this, but this is all we got. See what I mean? That's a person with a gift of service. What about the next one? He's not a loner. This is not a person that likes to be alone. Because when you're alone, you can't serve many people. They always want people around. A person with a gift of service hates to be alone, because they want to be around people in order to serve. That's the reason why they like to serve, because they like to be around people so they can serve. They become very hospitable. They're always willing to receive somebody. Or something, right? And they're always delighted to be around other people. And they feel like they have accomplished, and they feel fulfilled when they're able to see other people served. It's amazing. Let me give you a few more. I got three more for you. He has a need, or she has a need for recognition, believe it or not. And people, well, usually a person with a gift of service, if it's a gift from God, they're not doing it for recognition. They're not doing it for pride and glory and all these accolades. And no. Well, you may think that, and that is true. They're not looking for their own glory. They want to give God the glory. But by God, they like to be appreciated. Right? People, when they serve, like to be appreciated. You like to be appreciated. And there comes the three G's that I told you earlier, right, when we were singing. You give people grace. You expect gratitude, and you give God the glory. You see? So when you give grace to others, when you serve others, you always expect for them to be thankful or appreciate whatever you're giving. Right? It's amazing. But they long for that. They like to know that what they have done is appreciated, because they like to know that it was beneficial to the person.
So they like that recognition for that, for the approval, but not for their own ego or anything like that. So just be mindful of that, because they do things that are important to other people who are important to them, not for their own, but for them. They love to do these things, and they love to know that they're doing a good job, and they like to hear that. And it gives them even more reasons to serve and to go forth. See, they love to see other people satisfied. They love to see other people satisfied. And they're always thinking ahead. See, these people that have the gift of service, they're always thinking ahead. Before you say, I need a napkin, they already put it on the table. Right? They bring them to you. They do these things, and you're like, man, this person is ahead of everything. Gift of service. And of course, if anything happens to be needed to be done and you're there and they're there, usually they say, don't worry, I'll handle it. I'll take care of it. You know, like you go to the table, you sit down, and the person with the gift of service sits down, and as soon as you notice, look, where's the salt? Oh, hold on, just sit right there, I'll go get it. They go get the salt, they come back, they sit down, and I'll say, oh, the pepper's not here either. Don't worry, I'll get the pepper for you. You want anything else while we're at it? No, I don't think I need anything else. They'll come back and get the pepper. And all of a sudden you say, this soda's kind of warm. I'm like, okay, I'll get you some ice. Then they go get you some ice, and then they sit down, and they ask you, are you done? Need anything else? No, I'm cool. What happened to my fork? I thought I had it here. Then they smack you around. Right? Then they say, no, you go. No. But the person with the gift of service will kind of go a little bit further than everybody else. Some of us, at the first glance, we're like, where's the salt? Oh, it's right there. You can go ahead and get it. Feel like at home. Get the pepper while you're at it if you need it, because yeah. They want to make you feel comfortable, and they, you know, by saying, oh, you just get up and grab whatever you want. They just don't want to get up and grab it for you, right? You know, they'll feel like at home, you know, just open the fridge. Go in my purse. No, no, not like that, you know. But they get desperate about finding ways to serve or things to do. If they're not doing anything, they get antsy, they get all itchy and want to do something, right? And they love finding opportunities, and especially when people appreciate and thank them for whatever they do. Now, they like short-term projects. These are people who rather do a short-term project than a long-term project. Now, trust me, they can do a long-term project too. A person with a gift of service likes a short-term project because they can see results real quick. They can see results like that. They can go ahead and do something, boom, there's a result, boom, 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 boom. They see it and they just thrive on that, right? Because they like to see progress. They like to see goals being achieved, and they like to see tasks being completed. So they thrive on short-term projects. Now, if you give them a long-term project, what they'll do is they'll break it into little chunks and say, let's not talk about the whole thing. Tell me, what do you want to accomplish today? Well, we're like, okay, that's what we're going to do. We'll just take care of this. Don't worry about it. We're going to do this, right? And they think in little things, and they think in short term, and they accomplish, and that they get thriving like that, and all of a sudden they finish a very long project. Now, They can do that. Also, they tend to feel inadequate, believe it or not. Most of the people who have the gift of service, when you tell them about it, when you tell them, wow, you are so, and they're like, don't worry about me. I'm just a humble servant. I really don't know much. Don't worry. You know, it's just, hey. They feel like they're not all the way adequate, and that's humility. That's humility right there. And, you know, a lot of times we figure that they feel inadequate, and they feel like, you know what, I'm not the most necessary person. They feel like they are dispensable, you know. And, you know, sometimes we need to go through that and understand that you're not the center of the universe. Hello, not even your own universe. Think about this. Anybody not know Ronald Reagan? President of the United States. What happened to him? Walking down the street one day,
Boom, he gets shot. Everybody and their brothers running around. It's all over the news. Everybody guarding everybody, wanting to take a bullet for him, this and that. They get put. He gets put in the limo. He gets taken to the hospital. He's in the hospital now. And let me ask you, what happened to the United States of America when the commander-in-chief was in the hospital? It kept going. You think about this. The most important person, the most protected person in the country has just been shot. It's in the hospital. He can't do his job, but yet the country keeps going. Now, let's think about the trash workers. Half the people who collect the trash go to the hospital and not be able to work. Now, you tell me if we don't have a chaos in the city. But they're not that important. They're not that protected. They're not as important. And you see, the people with the gift of service, sometimes they feel inadequate and they think, I'm not that important. But yet, take them out, and boy, you're in a world of trouble. The church is in a lot of chaos when we don't have people with the gift of service serving around it within the church and for the people outside the church. So, the worst you can do to a person like that is put them like in a committee or a group to discuss things on what to do. You know what? People with a gift of service can't be in a committee. It's difficult for them because they don't like to be sitting there discussing what can we do, what are the options, what is it? Just let me out of here. Let me go do it. All right? Don't put them in a committee or anything because they'll get so desperate, right? Those long meetings, they don't like long meetings, right? Let's get it done. Let's get it done, right? So they don't like to be either like time-wise. They don't like to be behind in time. They don't like for anybody to mess up with their time schedule and things like that. They don't like to be and they'll interrupt you in a second, in a flash, because you start telling them, hey, I'll tell you what we need to do is we're going to take this project and we're going to start it, and they start going and going to go like, hold on. Just tell me what you want me to do. Let me go do it. All right? Just tell me what you want to get done. See you later. I'll see you. I'll come back whenever I'm done. Right? They don't like to be behind or anything like that. But they tend to feel inadequate and things like that because they're so... Humility sits in, and that's a good thing. All right? Now, let's look then at some of the other things, like when people misunderstand them, because people with the gift of service also can be misunderstood, and, you know, especially by the people who don't have the gift of service. But let's look at those ways that they're kind of misunderstood. Number one, people may appear to be pushy. You know, they may give you the appearance that they're too pushy. They just keep pushing and pushing and pushing. They keep trying to get everybody to do something. They can't see somebody sitting down. They can't see somebody resting. They want them to do something because they want to do something. They can't stay still, right? And some people get like, what is wrong with them? Well, that's in their nature. That's in their nature to be busy. Now, you have to be careful because, you know, being busy... And check this out. This is very important. When you get busy in ministry, that doesn't mean that you're more spiritual. Ministerial busyness does not equate spirituality. Because there are a bunch of Christians who are extremely active. But spiritual? You understand what I'm saying? So we have to be careful with that too. But they seem to be, people may think that they're a little too pushy because they like to get things done and they like to move around. Let's get with the plan, let's get it done and things like that. But they may seem to exclude other people in service. Some people feel left out when they're around a person that has the gift of service. Because when they're doing something, man, they can get it done. Next thing you know, you're like, I just got the tools out of my box and the person says, I already done it. Don't worry about it. They're too quick. They're going at it. They're not thinking about it. They're just going at it. They make circles around you, and you're thinking, this person doesn't want me to serve. This person doesn't want me to help. So all of a sudden, you kind of feel excluded around people who have the gift of service. But don't. Please don't. It's in their nature to serve and to do and to give all the time without stopping. Number three, they may seem to be trying to advance themselves. Sometimes like, you know what? This person, all they want is to get a raise. That's why they do everything they do. That's why they can't stay still at work. These are the people who mess it up for the rest of us that want to take a break. These are the people who mess it up for all of us that want to do just what is required. Because he goes an extra mile. Because he wants the extra dollar. Because he wants the extra position. That's the perception of many people when they see somebody with a gift of service. They think all they're trying to do is get ahead. All they're trying to do is get ahead. That's all they're thinking. But not necessarily. Not necessarily trying to advance and take a, you know, take a lead over you or anything like that. Or wanting the higher position or anything like that. They have the gift of service. And number four, they may seem to reject being served. These are the people, the people with the gift of service, when you try to serve them, they're like, no, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I got it. Sit down. And they're like, you sit down. You've done enough. No, it's okay. Right? You kind of feel like this person doesn't like to be served. And you know what? It's always good to be served once in a while, but for the most part, we're called to serve before we get served, you know? So, but these people in their nature are like that. That's what they do. They insist in serving others, and their insistence in serving others may be perceived as if they don't like to be served, like they reject your service. And it makes people feel then that whatever I do for this person is not worthy. He doesn't appreciate anything. He wants to do everything for himself. He doesn't allow anybody to do anything for him. You see? And honestly, you have to learn to let others also do some serving to you. You have to learn to be appreciative. Oh, man, the other day, my wife, she was this close to smacking me around. She's been that close so many times, it's amazing, but thank God she never done it. But check this out. A few Sundays ago, my glasses, I was preaching, and all of a sudden I didn't realize, and one of the legs on it went that way. Did I tell you that story? My goodness. One leg went that way, and my glasses are now like this, right? Because only one leg, and I'm fighting them, and I'm taking them off, putting them on, and trying to look at this and that. And Edgar was sitting down there, and immediately that man just went, whoosh, grabbed a pair of glasses, and he came running, brought them right here, and I said, thank you, brother. I put them right there. And I kept fighting with the broken ones, which are these ones. I fixed them with a paper clip, so they'd be all right. And I kept fighting these glasses the rest of the sermon. When I got out, we went home, and when I got home, my wife said, you are so wrong for what you did. What I do now? Again? She's like, you know, this man took it upon himself to bring you something that you really needed because you look pretty dumb with those glasses like that and trying to look and go back and forth and trying to fix them. And the whole time we're preaching, you're doing this. You look pretty stupid up there, did you know? Because you wanted to, because the man took care of you. And you rejected his help and his service. You just left the glasses sit there. A nice, simple pair of glasses you could have used. So guess what happened? The next time I saw Edgar, I had to say, brother, I am so sorry for not appreciating your service, for not thanking you or even taking advantage of what you gave me. It made my wife feel like I don't need your help. See, same thing happens. I get thirsty. I'm so dry right now. I could use this whole water. But since I'm preaching and I don't want to stop, I don't drink water. But somebody took the time to get this cold water for me. Right, John? I'm sorry. I'll drink it. Don't worry. But that's, not, I'm not saying that I have the gift of service necessarily, but the people with the gift of service, sometimes they may seem like they don't appreciate what other people do for them, and they insist in serving. So, you know, when you are with a person like that, and you want to serve them, You make them promise you. You sit at the table with them and say, hold on one second. Please promise me you're not going to get up and get anything. Right now. Sit down. Let me serve you. Promise me you're not going to get up. And if you need anything, you're going to ask me. If you don't promise me, I'm not going to sit at the table with you. Do we have a deal? Okay. Now watch them get all needy. No, but you know, you have to sometimes tell them, no. No. It's hard for them to say no, but sometimes you tell them no. Some of the people that I know here for sure, they have the gift of service. Sometimes I have to tell them, no, please, no. I want somebody else to be able to do something. Give them a chance, please, 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 Ed, give them a chance. Because the people with the gift of service, they're willing when nobody else is. And it's very important. So it's you want to serve them, you got to tell them. So it could be that when you're serving, nobody's appreciating. It could be that when you're doing anything, even if you don't have the gift of service, that you feel like, well, you know, nobody noticed. Well, guess what? God notices every single time. And everything that you do faithfully. You do it as unto the Lord. Because he's the one that's going to reward you. Remember what I told you earlier. The Bible says, do not grow weary in your service unto others. Because if you do not grow weary, he will reward you. And it doesn't matter what gift we have. We're all called to serve with our gifts. But today we were focused on the gift of service. And maybe you have to evaluate yourself and think, is this a gift that God has given me or not? Is this a gift that I've been ignoring, or is this a gift that I really have been exercising? This is the type of person that simply gives everything. And our best example is Jesus. He gave it all. He even said, I did not come to be served. I came to serve. And he did. He focused on the needs of everyone. Everything in his ministry was focused on the needs of everybody else. Not everybody appreciated it. Many people rejected him. Many people mocked him. But he still became humble and served. And his humility took him to service. And his service turned into sacrifice. And let me tell you, that's what we've been called to do. Lay down our lives in service for others. That is the only rational thing to do, according to Romans chapter 12 in the first couple of verses. That is the only rational thing to do, to give up our lives in service unto others. And it's precisely what Jesus did for you and me when he sacrificed on the cross for your sins and mine. So we can say now, we've been served.